Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Concerning the passing of Christians, and even as we have experienced in the recent week, the loss of our brother Pablo, who was saved just a week or two before passing, as God would have it. What a blessing. And without going into detail, there is clear proof that he actually got saved and was testifying of the Lord to others. And that's what makes this so joyful. None of this is by accident. God is calling, as he called Pablo, he's calling others, including our friend Armando, to come to him before it's too late. I like to look at it this way, that we should settle out of court before we have to go stand before the judge guilty. I use the term, and it's a biblical picture, that we should settle out of court now before we have to go stand before the judge guilty and it's too late and we're thrown into jail. That's one thing you don't want to do, is to go into the Supreme Court of the universe having not made it right with the judge of our eternal souls. So we're going to read Isaiah 57, 1 and 2, which speaks of what happens when the righteous, notice the righteous, pass away. When the righteous die, and how we can have knowledge and peace in knowing where they are. Amen. I want you to remember these two verses, because each of us are going to be around people who have loved ones pass away. And this is a very comforting truth. It's a truth that comforts instead of a lie that deceives people. The righteous perisheth. Notice he's talking about the righteous. When he passes away, perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away. He's talking about the righteous and the merciful when they're taken away. None considering, those that are still alive don't usually consider, that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Why? Because he's already under the altar. Revelation 6, those who pass away in Christ, the righteous, they're merciful. And when they die, they are bought by the blood of a lamb. They endure to the end. Now they're in glory. Glory eternally. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. So we get this picture through scripture, and we're getting it right here in this passage. And many don't consider, and yet you and I are going to have the knowledge to begin to consider the truth of what happens, that they are now with the Lord, and therefore they will never experience any pain or any hardship. All tears are going to be wiped away. They're going to be with the Lord. And so they're taken away from the evil. And notice it says from the evil to come in verse 1 here, right at the end. And that's more pertinent now in our day than it ever was, because we know that we are in the final hour before Christ return. And in reading Revelation, we know that there's going to be great destruction such as the world has never seen. Notice Revelation 21:4, we read these magnificent words, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, that is those who die in Christ, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things, the past life on the earth, that is, are passed away. Isn't this magnificent, saints? Verse 2 now. Notice the one that is righteous. Notice not the lost, not those who die without Christ, but those who die with Christ and in Christ is the context here. He shall enter into peace. Another place in scripture, in Isaiah, says that those who die in Christ are going to rest in their beds. We're going to have an eternal rest. And the picture picture is given of them having a bed. It's this verse. I should have just read a little further. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds. How many people know God has a mansion with beds in it for each of his children? John 14:1-6, Jesus said that he's going away to prepare a place for us. And in his Father's house are many mansions. What a blessing. And there are going to be a bed or beds there for us to rest eternally is the picture. Says it again, speaking of the conditional nature of this, each one walking in his uprightness. These are promises for those that are in Christ. And let me stop to say that if you're not in Christ, there's nothing important in your life except to be in Christ today, to repent and receive Jesus into your life so that he's the Lord of your life, all your sins are washed away, and you're ready for his return. Hebrews 9:27. Let's look at Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed. See, each of us has an appointment when we die. You will be immediately in heaven or hell, depending on who you served on this earth. So notice Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Those who say that you can get saved and not obey God are lying to you. Jesus said, it's clear right there in Romans 6:16, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. So Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Immediately upon death, we're already judged, and we go to heaven or hell, according to the preponderance of Scripture, such as Luke 16, where the rich man who did not serve God died, and he was immediately in hell, and the man he neglected, named Lazarus, was a man of God, and he went to comfort, eternal comfort, and both of those men are still in that state. Remember, as you die, so shall you lie. So shall you be for all eternity. There are no second chances in eternity. You have either received or rejected Christ at the moment of death, and that's going to determine your eternal state, your eternal home, and you're going to be, according to Scripture, 100% completely conscious forever. You will always have feelings, and you will either be feeling and experiencing comfort with God or absolute horrible torment in the fires of hell with the wicked. So it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. So for each and every one of us, there is an appointment. We're all going to die, and we're going to be judged immediately upon death. And Jesus came and shed his blood so that all of our sins can be washed away, and we can be holy before God through the blood of Jesus. Every one of us, the Bible says, has sinned against God, and that sin separates us from God because he is holy. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The way we have sinned, specifically according to Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, is first of all, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. And we have all put ourselves before God, and that's a sin of idolatry. The second commandment, which many of us who come from Catholic backgrounds have committed from a young age, is thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or image or any likeness of anything that is under heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord, or I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That's Exodus 20:3-5. It doesn't matter what the idol is. If God is not first, we are idolaters and separated from God because of the sin of idolatry. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We should never use God's name in any other way than reverent. So far, we have all been made aware that every one of us had idols before God. We've also bowed down to idols carved by mere sinful men, and we've also, every one of us, used God's name in vain. Notice that we have all committed idolatry, we have bowed to idols, and we have blasphemed the name of the Lord. Those are sins against God, which He is establishing in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments and the commandments of God's Word reveal just how sinful we all are. This is in order to show us how sinful we are and how much we need Christ. When we repent and receive Jesus, He washes away all of our sins and then gives us His power. He gives us His power over all sin in our lives. The next commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Every one of us has dishonored our parents. We have not perfectly honored them, and there's another sin that we're guilty of. Then the commandments finish by saying, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness or covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Verse 13 through 17, Exodus 20. Before we pray, we're going to read Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. All right, now have him read verse 13 also. So he's getting ready to pray in repentance and faith. He is calling upon the Lord in repentance and faith. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now as a sinner. I have sinned against you in many ways, Father. But I know you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. Jesus, I know that you came to the earth and lived a sinless life. I believe upon you as the Son of God who died for my sins, and you were buried and raised again from the dead. Lord Jesus, I now receive you into my life as the Lord and Savior of my life from this moment forward. Thank you for washing away all of my sins, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you did to save me, Lord. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me as I look for your soon return. Help me to tell others about the good news of your salvation. Please use me to tell others about you, Jesus. I love you, my Lord Jesus. I am all yours. And you are all mine. I rejoice in your salvation this day, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. It is essential to feed our spirit as disciples of Jesus with the food of the Word of God every morning and spend quality moments in prayer with the Lord each morning, and also to surround ourselves with the music, the praise of God, and the Word of God, good preaching, and the Bible narrated, etc. every day. It's essential to cut off the voice of the devil and the world and flood our minds and hearts every day with the praises and the truth of God. We must devour and be nourished by the Word of God every day. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And so when we ingest the Word of God every day, that's how we grow in Christ. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 3. Now ye are clean. How do we become clean, cleansed, and set apart, sanctified? Now ye are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. So that's all on record now from Genesis to Revelation. So we're being cleaned and cleansed every day and sanctified unto the Lord through the Word of God. John 15:3. John 17:17, Jesus is praying to the Father in this chapter. And he says in verse 17, John 17, sanctify them, he says, he asked the Father, through thy truth. Now, how do we get sanctified? It's through the word, the truth of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's repeat this out loud as disciples of Christ. And we're going to say this out loud before God and man, that the word of God is the truth of God. The Bible is the word of God, and it is the final divine authority. Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As Jesus and his apostles warned, in this last hour, there are many false teachers teaching false doctrine, and the only way that we can know the truth ourselves is to study the word every day in order to be able to rightly divide what is truth and what is error. As we come to a close, let's go to the next chapter, chapter 3 of the same book, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17 of 2 Timothy says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Paul is talking to his understudy Timothy, and he reminds him that he has known the scriptures from a little child. What are the scriptures able to do? Which are able to make thee wise. Anybody want more wisdom? The word of God is the wisdom of God. Amen. Which are able to make thee wise. The holy scriptures alone make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or fully mature, thoroughly furnished through and through unto all good works. This all comes by the word of God. We're going to close here in Luke chapter 15. We're going to read two verses there. Luke 15:7. Jesus says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. One more verse, verse 10 of the same chapter, three verses later, verse 10, Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. All right, I've got a question for you guys. Now, did that verse say that the angels are rejoicing, or did it say there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God? So it sounds like God is rejoicing, amen? He's the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one that died to bring Armando to himself. He came into the world to save sinners, the scripture says. Heavenly Father, we love you. We celebrate you today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying, being buried, and raised again from the dead to bring us back to you and the Father. We thank you right in our midst of what you did by bringing Pablo to you before you brought him to you into glory. We know he's there, and Lord, we thank you that the same is true for Armando today, Lord, that you found him, you convicted him, and you saved him by the blood of Jesus Christ and filled him with the Holy Ghost. And we celebrate that in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. Remember, saints, before we close, God is saving, sanctifying, and he's using his people. That's his will, to save, sanctify, and use us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world, and may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.